Let's get out to the Home Run In Hotline. Home Run In Pizza. Try Chicago's number one selling frozen pizza today. And there we find Phil Rogers, the baseball Bigfoot from the Chicago Tribune. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Oh, we're very, very thankful that baseball's upon us, although looking for happy thoughts and good news. And Brian, in particular, as a Cub fan, says that he's just not worked up about anything.
Yeah, Phil, I know going in, I knew what the deal was. But now Sully's down there and actually trying to generate storylines, and I'm trying to read them. And, you know, there's not a whole lot there unless you're into Brian LaHair. So, but you knew it was going to be a process, so here we go.
Well, I mean, it's maybe it's big for the guys that aren't there. No Big Z. Still Soriano. I'm actually, I was interested in Hoyer's clip there about how you don't really evaluate in spring training. Earlier this winter, we were talking about the Arizona Fall League, and he was telling me you don't really evaluate in the Arizona Fall League. So, I don't know.
When do you evaluate?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess, and in a way, he's right about this. When he says you don't evaluate, I think what he's saying is you don't overreact to things that happen in those type of venues, and it really is all about performance during the season. And you just look at what happens, when it really matters, and you don't get that caught up in these week-by-week storylines, which, unfortunately, that's how we make our living. So it'll be interesting to see if they can truly keep the hype down. But it's not a group that deals in much hype, that's for sure.
But hope does spring eternal. And on either side of town, I don't get the feeling that we can even delude ourselves into thinking there's any hope here, that both sides are in a long season.
There's always hope.
Well, it's going to be the first year in a long time when on neither side of town, is there a team that's likely or thinks it's likely to compete into September, although the White Sox will best case scenario it and will come up with reasons why they can compete. And I actually think the Cubs won 72 games last year. I'll bet you money that they win more than that this year. I don't think they should have been as bad as they were last year. And I think if you look at the talent that's there and how shaky that division is, I think they're gonna be a pleasant surprise. So I think they're sort of setting themselves up to be, on a measured scale, pleasant surprise. But yeah, I mean, nobody is on either side of town is trying to sell it. This is going to be the year, that's for sure.
Well, and again, there's different reasons for that, but I mean, obviously, you start talking about both teams, ridding themselves of players as much as adding something. Now, with the Cubs, it's obviously the start of the Theo Epstein era, and you look at that and you say, okay, they've got a plan, they got the Cubs way, it's going to take a while, the process, whatever. But they lost the run producers. That's the thing. As you look at it, first base, third base, where do you fill that run production? And I guess the answer is, there's a lot of bunting drills going on, and we're all going to out-hustle and run, and effort will somehow make up for power.
Well, I think one area, that I don't know that they're talking much about it, but I think they think they're going to get more out of Alfonso Soriano than has happened in the past, and we'll see about that. But, I think they've, if they could have traded Soriano, they obviously would have. But I think they've evaluated Soriano and thought, this is a guy that should be better than he is, and they think they can get a better effort out of him. I don't know.
They think Dale Swaim's going to push the right buttons, and Lou couldn't get through to him, and Q couldn't get through to him. I mean, on what basis do you think they feel they have the magic potion to get some more out of Soriano?
Well, I think you're right on Swaim. I think it's the accountability factor. I think they feel like he hasn't been held accountable. And you know what, though? They were in the same place with Zambrano, and they traded him. And, they may come to that conclusion quickly with Soriano that he is what he's been. The guys to look at in their camp are Ian Stewart, the third baseman. You know, has potential to be a hitter. Hasn't in Colorado didn't really develop. And while they will downplay it, you know, Anthony Rizzo is going to be an exciting guy to watch. Brett Jackson will be an exciting guy to watch. I didn't really get the Jesus signing when they made it, but as I've thought about it, I like it a lot. And it goes back, you know, if you go back through the years of Felix Pies, Corey Patterson, guys that people like myself have overhyped badly. The Jesus sort of keeps Jackson from being a big focus of this spring training. LaHair keeps Rizzo from being a big focus of this spring training. It doesn't mean these guys don't have the potential to be really good players. It's just that they're not being leaned on to come out of the chute in their first big league season as really big parts of a Cubs team.
Phil, hold on one second. We're going to get a quick scoreboard update from Mark Grody. We'll get back to Phil Rogers. We'll talk some White Sox baseball. Hey, Mark. Phil, I guess as I look at the White Sox, there's some things to be interested in. I really want to see what happens with Chris Sale and how quickly it can happen and how good that kid can be as a starter. And I'm curious about it. The whole pitching staff I'm interested in.
Yeah, Chris should be a very good starter. I've liked his whole the package of stuff. I mean, people talk about repeating that crazy delivery two or three times through a lineup, but he's been doing it his whole life, and he was a workhorse in college. People have been waiting for the lack of results. I think he is going to be an interesting guy, and certainly you got to rid yourself of the baggage a little bit when I say this name, but Jake Peavy is going to be an interesting guy, you know, and yeah. I think he's a really important guy because in this first year post Mark Burley, and by the way, I just hate saying that.
Yeah.
He was my favorite guy in town. There's no doubt about that. And
personality-wise, or just the way he pitched, and you knew you were going to get out of there.
No maintenance. You love. You know what you can count on.
2 hours and you're out.
Yeah, reliability. I mean, you know, he's like the cousin in your family that would always come over when the basement flooded. You know, I mean, he was the guy that you could just always. You know, you knew what you were going to get, and it was the same. Every month of a season, nothing ever changed with him, and those 200 plus innings he always pitched. I'm a little bit afraid he's going to be a guy that will be missed more when he's gone than he was really appreciated when he was here, especially at the last couple of years. People got freaked out about the drop in velocity and didn't necessarily note that his velocity of his changeup had also dropped, so he still had that split between the fastball and the changeup, which was what made him so effective his whole career. And, you know, so they really, really need Peavy to step up and be a every fifth start, sixth, seventh inning type guy. And, you know, you're just crossing your finger to think he's going to be able to step up and do that based on what he's done. Not just since he got to Chicago, but remember that 2009 year they traded for him. He had the ankle injury,
right?
And that was an injury plagued year even before he got here. So he's had three straight down years through injury, and they really need him to step up and get over that. And you know, he not necessarily be the Cy Young guy he was in San Diego, but be a 30 start, 200 inning guy.
Phil, we know how loyal Jerry Reinsdorf is, and you've been very critical, and rightfully so, of Kenny Williams and all the moves that he's made that have not worked out well over the last 3-4 years in particular. Is this make or break for Kenny Williams? You wrote about Tony La Russa still on the sidelines fielding lots of job offers, but seemingly waiting for the one where he actually has some power in the front office and actually can form a team. Is this Kenny's on a swan song here because there's not a whole lot of expectations for this team. But if Peavy doesn't work out, if Adam Dunn has another season close to what he did last year, does the chairman start looking there and make a move? Because obviously, you know, Ozzie's gone, so there's no one else to blame.
Well, I you got to think if the direction continues to go the way it is, and if school gets out in June and White Sox fans are staying away from U.S. Cellular, at some point, you know, there's going to be an end to Jerry Reinsdorf's patience with the direction. But I don't really want to try to predict where that's going to be. I mean, it isn't, Brian, I mean, you covered this yourself. Isn't this very similar to Jerry Krause?
Yeah, eventually Jerry Krause, even with the six championships, and obviously you got one here on the other side of town, there comes a point, a tipping point, where it's time to go.
But, I mean, it was so far beyond, with Jerry Krause, it seemed like it lagged so far beyond the public call for a change.
Sure.
That it was just, you know, when it finally did happen, it's like, wow, couldn't believe it actually happened.
But the Bulls always made money, and the Sox looked like, I don't know if they lost money last year with the all-in $126 million, but when that gets Jerry's attention for his investors. When they start losing money, then he's going to start paying attention.
Yeah, and you do hear grumblings from some of the investors, but, you know, I'm not going to predict it. I would have thought, you know, certainly with a Tony La Russa out there who does want to work, wants some responsibility, you know, with having a you know, you've got a very good number two in Rick Hahn. We certainly talked about him a lot last year about situations on both sides of Chicago, and I think he was played it the best he could. I think he would have liked to have never been speculated and just stayed, you know, kept skating his shift, waiting for his chance. And there wasn't change last year. I don't know that I'm going to predict it this year, but you know, the lack of, you know, I think that, you know, the White Sox have a better core than the Cubs do, but there's, I think, less excitement on the South side because, you know, it's there's been no change really. I mean, Robin Ventura for Ozzie Guillen. I mean, it's going to be a change in the way it feels, but I don't think I think fans are smart enough not to look to a change of managers.
No, it's
going to get a whole different result out of the same roster of players.
There's a general feeling that he's Kenny's puppet. I mean, just from the people that call in and the texts we get and all that. You know, Phil, we'll let you go just on the way out. Was it Baseball America that did the rankings of the minor league systems? And, you know, are the Sox really that bad? The Cubs seem kind of middle of the road, and the Sox are, I don't know if they had them 27th, 29th, 30th. I mean,
yeah, 30th.
Moving forward, right?
That's not good. Is it 30th? And, how many teams? 30? Oh, boy.
Yeah, ESPN.com just came up with this idea of doing power rankings for the future. And they looked at five different areas. The biggest ones were talent on the major league team, talent in the minor leagues, the finances of an organization and the leadership of an organization, and they ranked for the next 5 years the White Sox 28th, better than the Astros, and I'm not even the other teams escaped. Oh, the Orioles, better than the Astros and the Orioles, and that was it. And yeah, I do help Baseball America with their rankings of the White Sox minor league. So for more than 10 years, I've been watching the talent tab out of that organization, and you know the guys that excite people are A-ball type guys. There's an outfielder, Tracy Thompson, who has some power, but he's a few years away. Although one thing that can slightly skew that is once a guy's gotten into the big leagues, no matter how young he is, he doesn't really qualify. So a Diane Vicieta is a guy that would be you know, high in those rankings if he was still qualified as a rookie, but he doesn't because he has 130 plate appearances. Hey, the name for fans, though, is still Jorge Soler.
Yeah. Where's that at?
I think both teams are still in play on Soler. I think there was this rush last week when people thought he was close to signing, and he actually hasn't even been cleared as a free agent to sign yet. So,
and he's really 19, right?
he was playing on the he's as 19 as Dion Vicieto is because he was playing on Cuba's junior team in the summer of 2010 in a tournament in Canada. That was where sort of his star popped there, and I think he was playing for the White Sox, he'd be their best prospect, and that's probably also true for the Cubs. So he's going to be an expensive proposition for whoever gets him, but he would definitely add some fun and spice to what's going on with either organization right now.
Safe travels.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.